This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Hubert McIntosh, CPA, a member of SOFA. Join me every Friday at 4 p.m. for my live call-in program on WCNO by talking about financial literacy. We were going to help eradicate your illiteracy by talking about Medicare, Social Security, qualified plans, investing, debts, and everything that will help you so you can be prepared for your financial future.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Hello, my name is Barry Alsbrook, CEO of Taken TV. Join our growing network. For more information, log on to our website at takennetwork.tv. Host your own show or be a sponsor of one of our shows.
Time for a new kitchen? Floridian Kitchens specializes in quality cabinetry, design, and craftsmanship with locally sourced products to fit your vision. We are conveniently located in Stuart and can be reached at 772-324-0998.
Isn't it just like heaven? When you walk into the room, there's not a thing that's hidden. When every eye is on you, can't get enough of your presence. It's the perfect point of view. Isn't it just like heaven? Stay a little longer. I can't get enough of you. Stand in your presence and my true identity. Doesn't it sound like, yeah, it sounds like, just like heaven.
And good morning and welcome to Wednesday Live. Wednesday Live. And I have the entire team here today, and that includes me. I have been AWOL. I have been missing. But I am back today and so glad that you are here today as well. We had some great interviews while I was away and was able to listen in on some of those. And today we have Chris Fogel with us in our first half hour. So we're going to be talking a little bit about the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. But before we do that, we are just going to open with a moment of prayer and just declare the blessing of the Lord over each one of you and your families. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity of connecting with your people through the media of radio. And so today, Lord, as we are gifted this opportunity to share a few moments together, as life sort of crashes along at a high rate speed, we stop for a moment and we listen, we share, we enjoy your presence, your word, together, and we receive from each other. Lord, bless your people. Strengthen them. Protect them. Guide them. Bless them. Today we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, this morning, I believe, David, we do have Ma and Paul that may show up at some point during the morning. Is that correct?
They will be showing up.
They're available.
They're available.
They are available.
Yeah, they're just waiting for the opportunity.
They're waiting for an opportunity to step in, and so we'll see about that. Karen, do we have any mail that we're going to be sharing today, maybe a little later?
Yes, we have one note from one of our listeners.
One note. Okay, very good. And so we will be getting to some of those things later this morning. As you know, when you send in notes, we read the mail. And as you say, Karen, we are actually alive.
We're living.
We're right here in the state of Florida. You know, you're not listening to somebody in some other state that's being piped in. We are right here. And so when you communicate with us, we absolutely love it. Mm-hmm. And you send us your prayer request. And we've prayed for many, many, many things over the last several weeks. And, of course, we also get praise reports. So we like all of that stuff going on. Karen, give out the contact information for the station so people know how to get a hold of us. And then we're going to jump right into the topic of the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance, who we are, what the Alliance does on the Treasure Coast of Florida. And this hour is sponsored by the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. So, Chris, so good to have you. Give the numbers out for those that might want to call us.
Yes, that number you can reach us at is 772-221-1100. And you could also go to the website, WCNO.com.
There you go.
Find out whatever you need to know about us.
And if you're a texty person?
Yes, then you can text WCNO to 24365.
There you go. And so we do get a lot of calls from our family, Chris, and it's really great. Well, you certainly are not a stranger to our listening audience, because you've joined us many times now, Chris. In fact, we could almost say you're, you know, one of the personalities around here. And so we are very glad that you are with us today. And we are going to talk a little bit about what has happened and also what's coming up. So first of all, what is the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance, and why do they sponsor this hour?
Well, the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance, really, I think we need to understand its genesis. And its genesis started with Pastor Jim Way.
Yes.
Who realized that pastors needed to have the support of businesses and civic leaders coming together. And because I've been in business all my life, and recently graduated from the seminary about 4 years ago, he said, because of your background, you are going to be the catalyst to bring those business people and civic leaders together with the pastors. And so it started out. We had the first event was the Treasure Coast Christmas Proclamation Supper 4 years ago.
And great event.
It was. We had the mayor of Lake Wales, which was the tale of a city that was so racially divided, it was unbelievable. And that night he spoke about how the pastors and leaders came together to bring that community together, to become the body of Christ, that changed the whole image of Lake Wales going forward. And so what we are is we're a body of seven pastors that represent the board. So I'm accountable to all seven pastors, one of which is you, Jonathan. You
this is true. This is true.
But we have pastors from both Martin and St. Lucie County, from Pentecostal to Baptist to non-denominational. And maybe the layperson doesn't understand this, but it's so difficult to really bring pastors together of, say, different denominations, if you would.
Yeah.
That may not be the best way to put it, but they saw the vision and what God was doing here on the Treasure Coast. And some of them, and they were very open, were very skeptical at first. But since then, we have become such a cohesive board. And it's not just the Treasure Coast Christmas Proclamation Supper that we've done now for 4 years in a row. Last year, we had a terrific event with Bishop Jackson.
Yes, it was tremendous.
And prior to that, we had Bishop Nunez and J.C. Church. We've had some terrific speakers, and I'm not going to let it out of the bag this year, but we're going to have another terrific speaker this year on December 12th. Will be the next Christmas Proclamation Supper at the Mid-Florida Credit Union in Port St. Lucie, which I always refer to as the Port St. Lucie Civic Center. And we have 500 people there. And this 500 people are business leaders. They are pastors. They are elected officials, whether state representatives, property appraisers, sheriffs, all different types. And that entire function is completely paid for by businesses.
Yeah.
They sponsor. So the cost of admission is nothing. But we do more. We've had pastors roundtables. Last year we had Stand Courageous.
Tremendous men's event. In the midst of COVID.
I will tell you, it was an incredible event. It was extremely well attended. We had terrific speakers from Tony Perkins to General Boykin to Joaquin Molina from Miami. It was overwhelming.
And we were packed.
We were packed.
We were packed out, yeah.
We always do, and it's been a kind of a struggle the last couple of years how we were going to do it. It was the National Day of Prayer.
Yeah. Well, the weather's been an issue in our venue.
And COVID. But this year was the first time in 3 years that we were able to have it at the Civic Center indoors.
Right.
Extremely well attended, and really encouraged people to come out to that. It's when you have a room packed of people that are in prayer, people are pouring out the Holy Spirit from within. And let me tell you, if you don't feel the Holy Spirit in the room, you're not there. It is a powerful feeling. I said to my wife, I said, I didn't even need to take the car home. I could have just drifted home that night. We had another event. It was just a Friday morning prayer event at the Civic Center that, again, was well attended. People that we've never seen before got up and just poured out their heart in prayer, and it was just so moving. So what we're trying to do is to try to bring the body of Christ together in the Treasure Coast. We're not about any one denomination. We're more of an Acts 2 development.
Yes.
The early church was not four walls. The early church was when they met in Solomon's portico, and they came together as neighbors and brothers and sisters and helped one another. And that's really who we are. We're out here to promote the kingdom of God.
And that's a good point, Chris. You're talking about outside the walls. There's a reason why we do not do most of the events. There may be some rare occasions, but we make it a very strong point, the Alliance does, to meet in public facilities so that there's no competitiveness.
That's really a key. And so that people can become very parochial about their church or their denomination. And we're not about parochial. Parochial to me is how I grew up. I went
right,
to Catholic
I did too.
School. Mm-hmm. And parochial is very private. And Jesus is not about private. He's about public. what he did, Sermon on the Mount, everything was public. And so what we try to do is to reflect what Christ would do here on earth, is to be public about our worship, public about our praise. And so when we can do these events in public places, I really feel we've got the attention of God's ear, because he sees people coming together from many different churches and backgrounds. And it really is a uniting force. You know, what we see in today's society is nothing different than it was 2,000 years ago. What we see in the events of the racial issue is nothing new.
Yeah.
Samaria was that racial issue.
Same thing, same kind of a situation.
And so if you're with Christ, you're not with racism.
Right.
So for us, it's simple.
Say that again, Chris. That's really important.
If you're with Christ, you're not with racism.
That's right.
Because God created us all.
Yeah.
And the things that he told us to do was to love one another. That wasn't a noun. That was a verb. To love one another. And he wasn't select, like, well, I only want you to love maybe the person next door on the left side, but on the right side you can kind of avoid them. Mm-hmm. It's not what Jesus was about. And so I think by what the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance is doing, it's trying to bring what we all have in common together, which is Jesus Christ.
Right.
No one denomination has him locked in the sacristy, so to speak.
Right, right.
He is open to all of us. And I listened the other night with Jonathan Kahn and I'm always learning. You know, we always talk about the curtain that was torn.
Yeah.
But in a rabbi letter that was written almost 2,000 years ago, they talked about the golden doors of the temple that were also opened.
Yeah.
And that was by the rabbis. That was in their literature. So that was when Jesus opened the door and said, I'm here.
Yeah.
And I'm here for everyone. So that's what we try to do. And we got a couple events coming up. We haven't locked in yet, but I certainly will give you that information. We are looking to have a get together in Martin County the second Friday of August with business leaders, civic leaders, and pastors at a location to be determined. And Pastor Elsie Campbell is working on that.
Good.
And the second Friday of September, we're looking to do the same thing in St. Lucie County, and Apostle Trevor Banks is working on that location.
That's again, excellent.
So those are a couple of things that we're trying to schedule.
And that's targeting business leaders specifically?
And civic leaders.
And civic, business and civic. Mm-hmm.
In fact, one of the people that we had come to pray was from the city council, Port St. Lucie. We had all different individuals praying that night, representing government, representing business, and the ministry.
Talking about the National Day of Prayer that just took place on May the 6th.
Mm-hmm. It was powerful.
It was a powerful night.
And you know,
leaders, how many leaders do you, as far as participants in churches that were there? Many.
There were at least 20 churches that were represented. And I think when we first started, there might have been five or six.
Yeah.
So it's growing. And I think more and more pastors that have taken part, that were reluctant initially, now can't wait to be a part of what we're doing. Because what we do is not threatening anything.
Right.
What we're doing is all about promoting the kingdom of God and publicly proclaiming his name.
You know, Chris, years ago, I had an opportunity to travel extensively with a gentleman by the name of Roosevelt Muriel. He's from Colombia. And Roosevelt talked about all the struggles that a community, a region, or a nation has in regards to the church, where the enemy works so strategically, and I hate to say often successfully, to divide the body of Christ so that we are fractured, whether it's our resources, whether it is the gifts that God has put in a community, in an area. In so many ways, the enemy works against us. But Roosevelt would talk about that when the Holy Spirit begins to be released in such a way through God's people, where it is not about my thing, it's not about my kingdom, it's not about my church, it's not about my denomination, it's not about what I can do and what others are going to think about me, but it begins to be visibly seen that together Jesus is being lifted up in a community. When that begins to happen, he said it's like the rising tide. And there could be five ships in the harbor, or there could be 500 ships in the harbor. But as the tide begins to rise, it doesn't lift just one boat. It lifts all of them. And to me, I see that picture of Jesus blessing the fishermen, where their nets are full, their boats are sinking, and then they did something that was not denominationally correct or politically correct. They said, let's call for help from others to help us to get this great catch of fish. And Chris, if we are going to see in the body of Christ a regional spiritual transformation, then it's going to require something more than what we've done in the past. And I believe God is calling us to this place of realizing that God wants to be exalted through his church in such a way that God is honored and the tide rises. We pray for that tide to rise. And I know, Chris, you're committed to this this mission. You serve in excellence. You're a blessing to this region. You've been in business for years. But now you actually are going to have more time. You're taking more time. And you are you're targeting leaders. You're connecting with leaders. And you're calling leaders to become a part of the functioning body of Christ, not just a part of it, but the functioning body of Christ.
Well, you know, that's a good point. You know, we have got to come out of the four walls and be bold for Christ. You know, coming up in October, the Supreme Court is going to be handling a case from Mississippi on the sanctity of life, on abortion. Mm-hmm. And what we at the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance decided at the last board meeting, which was last Thursday, was that we're going to try to work with different groups throughout the Treasure Coast to encourage people of 10, 15, 20 people to publicly pray for the sanctity of life, to give the Supreme Court judges godly wisdom. Amen. And spiritual discernment. I can't even believe that I'm here talking about the sanctity of life, why that's even an issue. But unfortunately, in this secular world that we live in, life is not of importance anymore.
No.
And so we have to be bold in our prayer.
We do.
You know, if you get 10 or 15 people that stand out by the turnpike entrance at Martin County, or stand at Veterans Park in Port St. Lucie, or the gazebo in the city of Fort Pierce, for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, just standing there praying for the sanctity of life, and we start doing it over both counties, people are going to realize how serious we believe that the sanctity of life is, and God will hear our prayer.
Amen. 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 Well, Chris, I sort of introed our time together, making mention of the fact that the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance sponsors in part this hour every week. Why do you do that?
Well, I mean, when we see the opportunity for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be aired out all over, not just the Treasure Coast, but from Fort Lauderdale all the way up to Daytona Beach, to us, this is like, wow, this is manna from heaven. So we want to be a part of that. So by us being a sponsor is our way of saying we support what WCNO is doing.
That's tremendous.
And we thank you for this, because there are many people that don't have the luxury of getting in a car and driving somewhere, that are homebound, but they have a radio.
It's true.
And they can listen. And they, and for many people to hear the Word of God, to hear Adrian Rogers or all the different people that you have, it's just incredible. I just am excited every morning I get in a car, depending on what time I get in, I know who I'm going to be listening to. Mm-hmm. And it's powerful, you know.
And incidentally, three of our Alliance team are on this station. Trevor Banks has been on this station for, my goodness, I don't know, probably more than 20 years, maybe 25 years. And Trevor is, of course, a very faithful leader.
And a newest board member.
Yep, newest board member. And so he is a part of the team. But as you said earlier, the Alliance is not about being separated. It's and it's not about secularism. It is about lifting up Jesus Christ. You know, I had somebody ask me this, Chris. They said, Jonathan, how can you sit with others that may not understand the scriptures exactly the way you see them, whether it has to do with music or with the manifestation of the Holy Spirit or other things? And I know exactly what the word says, because Paul said it. He said, when I came amongst you, I purposed to know nothing other than Jesus Christ and him crucified. Mm-hmm. So many times we get caught up, and I was in a part of my internship was in a church where one part of the church wanted the door one color, the front door of the church. They painted it one color. They were the ruling team. At night, the other side of the board came out and painted the door a different color. This went on a number of times. And I was just coming out of college. And Chris, you know, I looked at this and said, this is insane. There isn't a business that could function in the world with this dysfunction, where it's so ego-centered and personality-driven, where the kingdom of God is to be about Jesus Christ and about the power of the Holy Spirit and about the Word of God. And so this is a wonderful thing that the Alliance does. I want you to know that from WCNO, your sponsorship enables us as a station to cover our expenses. And, of course, your influence influences other businesses as well to become partners with us. And we have had a tremendous increase of businesses coming alongside of us in the last year in particular.
Well, you know, it's businesses need to realize that when they are kingdom-minded, God pours his grace out upon them. I like to use the example with some of my clients that had franchises. They said, we struggle to find people to work. And I said, why don't you look at Chick-fil-A? Chick-fil-A goes to churches and youth groups. So the people they get are very responsible. They're enthusiastic. They have joy in their heart. And I said, that's the kind of workforce I want.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Really. And I think we should tell our sons and daughters that too, and remind them that the word talks about unequally yoked. And, you know, I've known people that said, man, I've made three bad decisions. I said, did they all come from a secular environment? Yeah, well, they sort of did. They, well, young people, you need to get back to church. Kids, you need to get back to church. Moms and dads, you need to get back to church. A lot of great churches. And of course, Chris, in the Alliance, when the kingdom's built, all the kingdom prospers by it, and we are here to be a blessing to all. Now, we talked a little bit because I did want to get a report out on the National Day of Prayer. It was a great success, and we thank God for that back on May the 6th. And then we have the Proclamation Dinner that is coming up, and that's going to be coming up when?
December 12th.
December 12th. And
Sunday
then
evening.
Sunday evening, and that always is a powerful event. And if you've participated in the past, you're going to want to get that on your calendar. If you are in business or ministry leadership or what, civic government?
Civic government leaders. I mean, what we want to see is, I'd love for a couple business people to say, well, you know, I really don't go to church, and I'm not really sure. I'd love to see them come to this event.
to see what the body of Christ looks like outside the walls.
Absolutely.
And this is where it happens. Now, how would people get more information, Chris? We haven't given websites or anything like that or phone numbers, I guess.
Well, we really don't start disseminating the reservations till about October,
so
November.
So we'll keep everyone notified.
We'll give them a website and people to contact because we do have to keep control over the number because we are limited to 500 people.
Sure.
And we fill it up each year.
Yeah, and it's a tremendous event. And, of course, the August, the second Friday in August that we're looking at for Martin County and September 2nd Friday, that's going to be in St. Lucie County, you'll keep us updated on what's going on, and we'll be able to get that information out. All right, that's tremendous. Chris, would you be able to just lift up in prayer those business and civic leaders? You know, we come from a church perspective here today, but we thank God for those segments of the kingdom of God that are a part with us.
Well, Father God, first of all, I just thank you for the robust business that you've created here in the Treasure Coast. We're seeing economic development flourish in this community. But Lord, we owe that gratitude to you. And I'm praying, Amen. Lord God, for all these business people to really know where their blessings come from, to know where their gifts came from, and to give you all the glory and praise. And Lord, I'm praying for their hearts to be softened, to hear your voice, to feel your presence, Lord God, that they're not just given the opportunity to do well in their business, but there's a purpose behind it. And we're praying, Father God, that you will open up their hearts and their minds. Maybe it will come from fellow employees that will share the word with them, or they'll hear it from others, or people will just say, wow, you've been blessed by God. And they'll go, what do you mean? And that'll give them an opportunity to share with them. So, Father, we're praying thank to Jesus. Open up all Amen. Channels of communication.
Amen.
That all Christians will open up within all businesses to be bold about what you have done in their life and what you see God doing in their life, so that they will be given a chance to not only continue to succeed in our community, but to publicly give you the glory and the praise. And that they will call their people by your name, Lord God, that they will give you the thanks and the blessings for all Amen. The opportunities Amen. That abound here in the Treasure Coast. And Lord, we're praying for those people that are struggling.
Thank you, Lord.
That are having difficult your times. Strength. That, Lord, that they would turn to you, Father Amen. God, for the help. Yes, it's important to have your CPA or your attorney, Lord, but the ultimate help, the ultimate direction comes from the power of the Holy Amen. Spirit, and we pray, Father Amen. God, today that all will turn to you because all good things come from our Heavenly Father
thank you,
above,
Father.
And it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Chris, we Amen. Can't say thank you enough. Thank you for your sponsorship from the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance and to the great team, the great work they're doing. This is Wednesday Live, WCNO in Palm City, Florida, and we are going to be looking to connect with Kelly Rowe in just a few moments, and she is with Rise Center IRC. And so we're going to hear a little bit about what Kelly is focused on, some really great contributions to our community right after this song. We'll be right back with you.
To this.
right, and this is Wednesday Live, WCNO in Palm City, Florida. And we just had a great friend of this ministry, Chris Fogel, with us from the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. And now we are going to bring a new friend, Kelly Rowe, who is with Rise Center IRC. Kelly, welcome to WCNO Radio.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, we're glad to have you with us today, and we've sort of been introduced through a mutual friend, and I understand that you're involved in a very important organization that is providing services that are strategic and so needed in our community. So let's just start by saying, what do you do and why do you do it?
Okay, so well, my background is in education. I started on an elementary school campus. I was working with individuals with varying exceptionalities, but I had a real affinity for those with emotional behavioral disabilities. So I transferred to Wabasso School. Wabasso School is a special needs school. It's entirely exceptional education. And you know, students there are not able to be successful on a general education campus. So I was able to develop and implement the behavioral program model there for kindergarten through sixth grade, and we saw a lot of success with our students. They were able to transition back to gen ed campuses with peers and be very successful in managing and modifying those behaviors. So then an opportunity arose through a grant to develop a transition classroom because I saw a real need for our students. They're able to attend school through their 22nd birthday, but then they need to be ready for life. So the transition program is from 18 to 22 year olds. I was able to implement and develop that classroom, everything from picking out the furniture to developing the curriculum. And then I saw a lot of success with my guys. They were going out onto job sites, they were becoming gainfully employed. But the most frequently asked question from parents was, what's next? Because when they leave at 22 and they're not ready and they're not gainfully employed, where do they go? You know, parents have outside commitments. These individuals cannot be left alone. So it was severely limited in our area, and it's, already an underserved population, but we had very few opportunities for them. And, you know, in Indian River County, there are 3,612 individuals between 18 and 64 with intellectual disabilities.
How many?
3,612.
Wow.
So it's
that's
a huge
registered
number.
Yeah.
I know. It's a huge number for our little county. And of those individuals, 568 are employed, and 543 are seeking employment, and that was pre-pandemic. So I'm sure that those numbers are a lot higher. So, 15% of that population are trying to become gainfully employed or want to become gainfully employed, and there's nothing for them. So
tremendous.
That's where Rise came about. It was a passion of mine for a few years, and I was able to secure a couple of like-minded partners, investors. And the important part for me is that they have the same vision and mission. They have somebody in their life with differing abilities, or they're in the field, because they had to understand that this is purposeful. It's not just a business.
So this is this list of community partners that I'm looking at?
I have a list of community partners that have assisted in certain things and in supporting us, but my actual partners, my investors, are on the board of directors.
Okay, yep, I'm looking at those. This was very helpful what you provided. So you have a pretty strong team here that have a personal interest, understanding, commitment to what you're doing.
100%.
That's excellent.
I have 100% strong team.
That is fantastic. And so you're really looking to enable by training and is this like job skill training and maybe marketplace awareness? How are you looking to integrate these individuals into the marketplace?
Well, so you know, our mission is to educate individuals to rise, and that is to reach independence through support and empowerment. And we'll do this by, we have our overarching framework. So there are three program models. There's a comprehensive program model, a practical, and an adaptive program model. All of our staff is highly trained and experienced. We group for like age and interest social aspects, and that's to develop those social circles, because when they're not in a program or they're not out in the community, they can become very isolated. This pandemic was very difficult on our guys, because you and I can pick up the phone or we have friends calling, but sure, they just don't. So, you know, it was very important that we had transportation available, because that's a huge barrier. And then with those program models, there's an academic focus that's very functional. So they're working on independent functioning, daily living, and employability skills. But in order to provide the programming that they need, we have to differentiate according to their specific needs, which is addressed in the program model. So for the comprehensive program model, it's serving individuals with cognitive, maybe some social, emotional, or developmental disabilities, but usually not a lot of behavioral components. The practical program model serves individuals with a behavioral focus, and it really focuses on like the social and emotional development, appropriate communication and functional skill development, and coping skills. And then we have the adaptive program model, which serves individuals with moderate to severe cognitive disabilities. They'll have physical impairments, nonverbal or very limited communication skills. So that's very important in how we provide the instruction on those things, like household emergencies and how to respond, safe and appropriate social interactions, safety in the community, appropriate social expression, some pre-vocational skills, because we do want to address that the unemployment number, and our goal for that is twofold. So we want to develop strong business partnerships that are very accepting of our guys once we've, you know, established those pre-voc training skills, and to employ them for more than 3 hours a week, which I know that there are companies out there that are hiring our guys, but, you know, it's 3 hours a week, one day a week, and that's not really gainful employment. So to open up more business partnerships, that's what I'd like to see. And then there's also, RISE is going to open 3 subsidiary businesses, or actually I'm going to open 3 subsidiary businesses, and that is RISE Custodial Services. So they'll offer custodial services for businesses in the area. Also, Cases for a Cause, it's going to be an online retail business selling cell phone cases and accessories. And then a little bit further up the road, Serendipity Cafe. So it'll provide counter service with ready-made, sandwiches, salads, pastries, so that they have an opportunity to do pre-voc training here at the center, and then they can do on-the-job training and become truly gainfully employed. And to target those skills that those individuals are strong in.
That is tremendous. Now, how can people get a hold of you, Kelly? We need to get some information out so people who are listening today, business owners and others that may have family members that may connect with this type of needs. How can people reach you?
Well, actually, this Saturday we're having our official grand opening event, and that'll be from 11 to 2 here at the center. We are in the Vero Bowl Plaza. The address is 919 14th Lane. Again, that's from 11 to 2 this Saturday in the Vero Bowl Plaza. We'll have United Against Poverty here. We'll have One Blood. We'll have Special Olympics, because I tried to make it a real community event. So they can always come out then. Or we have our website. It's risecenterirc.org. We have our Facebook page. You can look us up. It's Rise Center IRC on Facebook. And then the telephone number, 772-584-3130.
All right. Well, that is tremendous. And, Kelly, I so relate to a lot of the things you spoke about today, because my wife and I, we adopted our sons, and I have a boy who is 24 years old that is nonverbal, nonambulatory, and we take care of him. And over the years, the number of interviews we've went to for this or that, where someone has said, now what kind of work does he do? You know, and we're sitting there like, well, you know, there may be some people who are not actually able to be gainfully employed, but there are many that can be. And so this is tremendous, because it gives them a place, it gives them a role, it gives them a sense of identity and worth in society when they can actually release some of those gifts that they have, and they're all gifted. It's just you have to find those gifts and get them out. So thank you so much for what you do. I can hear your heart, and it is absolutely awesome. So give us one more time the information about this Saturday event, so people who are listening can go get out, get better acquainted with you, find out how they can be supportive, and how they can be a part of this success.
Absolutely. And first I'll just say, the next time you're asked that question, you just say he works in communication, because that's what he's working on.
Okay.
So this Saturday, in the Vero Bowl Plaza, the address is 919 14th Lane. It's Rise Center IRC's official grand opening event. We will have raffles. There's going to be some food trucks here. We have flag bags to the first 100 families. We'll have United Against Poverty, One Blood, and Special Olympics here. All of our proceeds from the raffles will go to benefit our participants. The telephone number is 772-584-3130, and that is 11 to 2 this Saturday.
Kelly, again, thank you so much for joining us today, and we welcome you anytime you have special events to get an email out to WCNO@WCNO.com, and we'll be happy to bring you on air and promote these events, because this is such an important part of our community, and we just thank you for your heart and your service.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me on.
All right. Have a blessed day. Well, this is Wednesday.
Thank you. God bless.
Thank you. God bless you. This is Wednesday Live in Palm City, Florida, and we were just sharing with Kelly, and so blessed to hear of the opportunities that are out there and available. We have a great community with many services. We're going to go to a song. We're going to be right back, and we're going to see if we can find Ma and Paul here.
My hiding place, O Lord. You save me in my distress. You are my hiding place. You save me from strength. You surround my soul with cries of deliverance. Let every good man pray to you. In his hour.
And we're coming back to you from WCNO in Palm City, Florida. This is Wednesday Live, and so glad that you are joining us. And we're going to move along. I think we have an announcement that has to do with Martin County. Dave, can you share that with us quickly? And let's get Ma and Paul in here and get ready to roll with them.
Well, very quickly, we tell people about opportunities to get involved in our community and in our county.
and to bring a Christian voice to these volunteer opportunities.
That's right.
Well, the Business Development Board in Martin County has a vacancy, and they do quite a bit of work in, as you can imagine, development in the county, and there's also issues going on of funding and stuff. You can reach Donna Gordon at 772-288-5756 or email her at Donna Gordon or dgordon@martin.fl.us.
So get involved.
Yes,
get involved. Go get your gloves and say, I'm going to show up for my part. I can do something to make a difference.
Amen.
Amen. And we have a note here from Diane, our wonderful friend Diane in Tequesta.
I love her notes.
I know. They're so encouraging. She says, enclosed is a $100 check for June's evangelism on WCNO. You're doing God's work so well. Thank you for all you do to serve the Lord.
Awesome. And, you know, I received a note from someone that wanted to have their message read. Actually, it's probably going to get read next week because we're not going to get to that today. We're just running out of time. But they just wanted to make mention of their appreciation for the station. So we have a ton of mail, went through a big stack of mail yesterday, and just trying to get all of those notes together. So if you send us in a note and wanted for us to make mention, we'll look to get to that next week on Wednesday Live. All right, Ma and Paul is here, so let's get started. Well, if you were listening to WCNO's Wednesday Live last week, you heard Ma and Paul discussing Paul's grief over the impending death of their best laying hen, Gloria. She passed soon after the program, and Paul was so stricken with grief that his immune system was compromised while laying Gloria to rest in the chicken graveyard behind the hen house. He accidentally cut a finger on the sharp edge of the new roasting pan he had purchased for Gloria's body, his way of providing a coffin for the beloved hens who have served Paul and his family over the years. He didn't realize that some bacteria in the dirt had entered his bloodstream. In a day, he was suffering from a high fever and chills, and his whole body was overcome with a kind of suffering which caused him and Ma to literally fear for his life. Paul, being a man, and like most men, not willing to seek medical treatment unless it was clear that the gates of heaven loomed, it was Ma who finally dragged him to her pickup truck and hauled him to the doctor. The blood test revealed a serious bacterial infection, and antibiotics were prescribed. Their doctor reported that Paul was brought in just in time, as the blood test revealed the beginning of sepsis. Once back home, Paul was on a strict regimen of the proper medicines and intake of fluids and nutrients to sustain him in his healing. Now that Paul's beginning to feel better, he and Ma are having a conversation about what they both went through during his severe illness. We might find some tidbits of wisdom in their sharing. So let's listen in.
So, Pa, I see your eyes are open. How you feeling this morning?
Well, I gotta tell you, Ma, there was a couple of moments in the last few days I didn't think I'd make it. I thought I saw angels a-fluttering around the room.
Well, there might have been angels, Pa, but I also brought a couple of the hens in from the hen house to visit you. I thought you might like to hear them clucking and such.
Oh, that was mighty nice of you, Ma. I can't really remember them being here, but, you know, earlier I went to grab my teeth, and there was an egg sitting right on top of them dentures.
Well, that would have been old Louise. I brought her and Betty in for a visit. You know, I've been listening to you talk about all your hens and just who might be taking old Gloria's place as lead layer.
Yeah, you know, Ma's Gloria started to fail. I had to put my mind to her replacement. But, you know, Ma, I wish she hadn't have died. I mean, she wasn't that old.
Pa, chickens don't last very long, especially if they're doing a lot of egg laying.
Yeah, I suppose, but I really do miss her.
I know, Pa. I know we're all still grieving.
So you said that old Louise was the one what laid an egg on my dentures?
That's right, Pa. When I brought him into your room, I just let him go. Old Betty just started pecking on the floor, but Louise flew right up to your bureau and sat down right on your dentures. It was like she planned it, Pa. She clucked a couple of times and then stood up. and that egg was nicely balanced right on top of your teeth.
Well, first thing, that explains a strange taste I got when I put my teeth in a little bit ago. But I also think that Louise Dunn won that position of lead layer.
I figured she would, Pa. She really loves you. And I believe she'll be equal to or even exceed old Gloria's laying record.
Well, could be, Ma. But listen, I don't remember much of the last few days. Could you fill me in on what was happening?
Sure, Pa. What's the last thing you remember?
Well, it was the day after we buried Gloria. I remember feeling kind of woozy, you know, like I was losing my balance.
Well, you actually did, Pa. You passed out right there in the kitchen.
I passed out?
Sure did. I had just walked into the kitchen and I saw you going down.
I'm surprised I didn't have any broken bones or nothing.
Well, that's because you fell face first on the 3 sheet cakes I'd baked for the church supper on Sunday.
I did? Well, don't tell me I ruined your cakes.
Well, it wasn't all ruined, Pa. I just cut out the parts you fell on. I evened up the cuts and then put frosting on them. Nobody noticed. But I remembered to cut out the piece with your handprint for myself.
Oh, Ma, that's so sweet. So anyway, what else happened while I was out of it?
Pa, with you just laying there in your bed, unresponsive and all, you weren't doing much at all. I took care of you night and day after you got back from the doctor.
I remember you dragging me out to your pickup truck, Ma. I thought you'd call someone to help you.
Well, at the time, I didn't think about that. You were bad sick, and all I could think of was getting you some help real quick.
Yeah, I remember you picking me up and dropping me in the passenger seat. And I ain't no lightweight, Ma.
Well, that's true, Pa. Although you were a little bit lighter because you didn't have your teeth in.
They ain't that heavy.
Yeah.